2020 vision. And we've been asking the question, what does God want this church to become? What does God want this church to become over the next 5 to 10 years as we grow, as we change as a church? Just change is a part of life, and as we grow, adding people will kind of change the character of this church just a little bit. And what does God want our church to look like? So when we look back 5 to 10 years from now, and we look back to this moment, like how much progress will have happened? What kind of things has will God do over the next 5 to 10 years? So 2020 vision, the year 2020 is just 10 years away. And I don't know about you, but I remember thinking about the year 2000 being a long way away when I was a kid, and just thinking like, what's it going to be like in 2000? We're going to be having flying cars and, you know, whatever. What happened with that, by the way? I was looking forward to that for a long time, flying cars. That never happened. And now 2020, right? I mean, that even thinking that was just even beyond thinking about when I was a kid. 2020, like, just, man, but it's 10 years away, and you know how fast 10 years go if you're an adult, you know? I mean, that's like 10 years are like that. And so 2020 is not that far away. So by the year 2020, what do we believe our church is going to look like? What do we believe God wants us to become? And last week, we introduced this series. The first week, we spent pretty much the entire message on the new mission statement, what our church is all about. And we said, Life Roads exists to help people become fully alive in Christ. Kind of introduce that phrase. That's what we're all about. Life Roads exists to help people become fully alive in Christ. And we said that phrase, that idea of being fully alive, that's not our idea. That's from Jesus. That was Jesus' stated mission. He says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, right? Or have it abundantly. And that's what Jesus said he came to do, is to bring life. We talked about this last week, but the idea of life and what's involved in that word life. There's different Greek words that get translated into the English word life. We said last week there's bios, which is where we get the word biology from. And it's just the fact that we're living, breathing, we have physical life. And then there's another word, zoe, which is a spiritual life. It's a word used to describe spiritual vitality and joy. And just the Bible paints this picture of what zoe looks like. And it's this idea of passionate, joyful, like this fullness of life that Jesus said he came to bring. And that all begins when we begin a relationship with Jesus. Once you begin a relationship with Jesus, the Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, behold, new things have come. And so that's, the zoe starts right there. New life starts when you begin a relationship with Jesus, and then the rest of your life with him, you grow and gain the fullness of the understanding of what he has for us. We just grow, we continue growing in that until the end of our life someday, until he returns or until our life is over, and then the work will be complete, okay? And so if you missed last week's message, I encourage you to check that out on our website, liferoads.org. You can go there and listen to the messages, and last week's message is on there. And so if you missed that, check that out, because I really unpack that idea of Life Roads exists to help people become fully alive in Christ. So this week we're going to talk about what we believe, what we think fully alive people look like, and then how we, as a church, want to help you get there. How we are designing this church and setting things up to help you become fully alive in Christ, right? Not just partially alive, or not just kind of alive, or barely alive, but fully alive in Christ. So as we start, I want to show you a painting. This is a painting, go ahead and put that up there, by a guy named René Magritte. And this painting, hopefully you can see it clearly from where you're at. It's a giant painting. It's larger than life. But this painting was painted back in the 30s by an artist named René Magritte. And I'll just describe what's going on here. There's an artist sitting down in front of a canvas, and he's painting a picture, and he's looking at something, and he's apparently painting what he's looking at, but that's where it gets a little funny. This is actually the artist himself. It's a self-portrait by René Magritte, and he is painting an egg. He's looking at an egg on the table, but what is he painting? He's painting a bird in flight. So he sees the egg, but when he sees that egg, he doesn't see the egg. He sees the egg's potential. He sees what the egg will someday become. And I wanted you to see this painting because I believe this is how God looks at us. that when God sees us, he sees our potential. He sees kind of the end result, where we're headed with our relationship with him. And God doesn't just see us as an egg. He sees us as a bird in flight. That egg has a lot of stages to get through before it's actually a bird in flight, right? That bird has to actually get out of the shell. It has to hatch, right? And then it comes out and it's all fuzzy looking and kind of weird looking and can't feed itself. And then it's got to be fed for a little while. And then eventually, you know, gets the new feathers on top of the weird little downy things. And we'll get kicked out of the nest at some point and learn how to fly. And there's this whole process that it goes through. But the artist doesn't see that. He sees the completed picture. And that's exactly how God sees us. And if you read the Bible, you start to get a sense for that. As you go through God's word, you see God dealing with us on the basis of who we are going to be, not necessarily who we are right now. And when Jesus encountered the Apostle Peter, when he first met him, he said, your name is Simon, but I'm going to call you Peter, which means rock, right? And it's this idea that you're going to be a rock. You're going to be in some way the foundation of much of the church life. You're going to be one of these leaders in the early church, right? Jesus is the real rock, but Peter's the part of this foundation, the beginning of the church. And so Jesus calls that out in him when he's a fisherman. He doesn't see himself that way, but Jesus sees something in him, sees what he will someday become and says, you're the rock, you're Peter, which means rock. Jesus, when he's talking to his disciples, he tells them they're salt and light. You are salt and you are light. And they weren't acting like salt or light at the time. But he says that you're going to be salt, you're going to season the world, and you're going to be a light. You're going to shine for me. Even though they weren't there yet, that's where they were headed. That's what they were going to become. And then all over the New Testament, specifically in the letters that are written at the end of the New Testament, we're called saints, right? We are called saints. That's who we are and kind of who we're going to become all at the same time. And there's a verse I'd like to read to you. This is 1 John 3, verse 2. It says, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is." So that verse absolutely has that already but not yet thing going on. We are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. So when God looks at us, he sees the entire picture. He sees how we're going to end up. He sees everything about us. He knows us. He sees if we're going to walk with him and grow closer to him for the rest of our life, or if we're going to kind of walk away from him and kind of give up on all that. So really, what we want to do as a church is help you when it comes to that progress, when it comes to growing in your relationship with Christ. That's what we're all about. We want to help you become fully alive in Christ. We believe the fully alive version of you is a more joyful version than when you were not walking with Christ. The fully alive version of you is much more fulfilled. And that's the thing. When we walk away from our faith, many of us have had that experience where we walk away from Jesus. Maybe we begin following Jesus, we're kids in our parents' church or something, and we grow up and we decide that we're not going to adopt the faith of our parents, and we walk away from it for a while. Maybe that's your story, that was my story. We think we're looking for joy. We think we're looking for more fulfillment somewhere else, the outside of God's plan. But that's not what we find. What we find is not joy. What we find is the opposite. We find pain. We find heartache. And the reality is, God's not holding out on us. God really does have the best plan in mind for us. And it's for us to be walking with him. And that true life is found in God. It's found in a relationship with God through Jesus. That's where true life, that's where real joy is found. It's not found on going our own way and trying to forge our own path. That's where pain is found, right? So God's not holding out on us. He has the best plan in store for us. And the way to be fully alive is to stay connected and stay with God's plan for us. So how can we help you with that? How can we help you start a relationship with Christ? If that's you, if you have not never begun a relationship with Jesus, how can we help you with that? And then how can we help you grow in your relationship with Christ? So that process, like we said, continues through our whole lives. And we're going to look at two passages of Scripture here, and actually the final two. We're not going to be in a bunch of Scripture today. Normally, if you're just kind of visiting with us, we usually are in the Bible quite a bit. This Sunday is a little bit unusual because we're talking about the vision of the church, and it's all founded, of course, in Scripture, but we're not going to be reading as many verses maybe as we normally do on a Sunday morning. But Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20 is the first passage we'll look at of these two passages, the last two passages. Matthew 28, 19 through 20 is called the Great What? Say it louder. The Great Commission. That's exactly right. And this is Jesus kind of parting words to the disciples. He says, this is the mission I have for you. This is what you need to be doing until I return. This is what the church should be doing. This is what individual disciples should be doing. And it goes like this, verse 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So that's the Great Commission. He says, go, make disciples, right? So make more of you. That's what they are. They're disciples of Jesus. All that means is they were students of Jesus. They wanted to learn Jesus' teachings. They wanted to become like Jesus. They wanted to do the kind of things that Jesus did and act the kind of ways that Jesus acted. And they wanted to become like Jesus. They were students of him that wanted to really become like their teacher. And so he says, go, you are disciples. Now go make more disciples. And that's what the church has been doing for the last 2,000 years. Go make more disciples. Make more. Go find other people that don't know Jesus or that aren't walking with Jesus, and help them out. And then he kind of gives them a description of what that looks like. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So baptize them, and then teach them. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. So teach people how to follow Jesus. That's what being a disciple is. And he says, and keep in mind, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Always going to be with you. So that's the Great Commission. That's kind of the foundation, centerpiece of what we're all about. Like, if we can mess up a lot of things as a church sometimes, but if we stay focused on this, this is key for us. The next passage I'd like you to look at is Mark 12, 28 through 31. Mark 12, 28 through 31. This is another passage that we describe with the word great. There's another part to it, and it's another C word. Is it up there on the screen yet? So this is the great what? Do you remember? Great commandment. That's right. So verse 28, we'll start there. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him. Let me back up just a little bit. Jesus is having this conversation with these Jewish leaders at the time. And the scribe is noticing that Jesus is answering these questions well. He has good answers for all the questions. And so he asked him this, which commandment is the most important of all? This was a discussion that they would have during this time. Hey, there's a lot of commandments, 600 plus commandments in the Old Testament. Which one's the most important? Jesus answered, verse 29, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So Jesus says, if you want to boil down the entire Old Testament and really what it means to follow God in general is to remember that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, and then we need to love our neighbors, right? Love other people as ourselves. And he says, that's the heart of it. That's the main idea, really, from what following God looks like. That's what it looks like to follow God. And so if that's the big idea, it's very important for us to remember as a church always the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. So make disciples. Go and find other people and help them follow Christ. Teach them what it means to follow Christ. That's our individual responsibility, and that's the church's responsibility. And then the Great Commandment, what we should be about, the kind of things we should do. Well, we need to love God with every possible way we can love God. That's how we need to love God, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. So loving the Lord with our mind, I mean, there's things we should know about God with our heart and our soul. There's things internally in our hearts that should happen if we're loving God and following God. And then with all our strength, there's actually things we should do if we love God. And then love our neighbors as ourselves. So I want to look at some values now. You've heard the mission statement where we exist. Life Roads exist to help people become fully alive in Christ. I want to talk about six values. And they're going to be on the screen as we talk about them, but there's being words. There's things that we should be doing. These are things that are important to us. A lot of times, again, I said this last week, that there's organizations or churches that have missions, and it's just a big complicated phrase that no one really, they're like, what does that mean? I don't even know what it, you know, whatever. Our mission and our values and all the things that I've been sharing with you have some depth to them. I have pages and pages of kind of background information that I went through to kind of boil it down to what I'm presenting to you today. But our values, what we mean by our values, are these are things that are going to be really important to us, that they already are important. Some of them are going to be more important to us. But these are our values. This is kind of how we do things around here. That's what you're going to hear over the next few minutes here. So our values, things that are important to us. The first is this. We want to, being welcoming is important to us. Being welcoming is important to us. Here's what I mean by this. We want to be a church that is a safe place to come home to. I've already been talking about this, about people walking away from their faith at some point. There are some churches that it's really hard to go back to. You know, you grew up there maybe, and you kind of left your faith and made some bad decisions in your life, as so many people in this room have experienced, and many other people that aren't here. And you try to kind of, you go, oh man, I want to go back. I want to get back into this. And it's hard sometimes. I mean, the way the culture of the church is it's really hard to go back to. There's a lot of maybe judgment there. There's a lot of people that will look at you with disapproving glances you know, say very religious sounding things that just make you feel horrible, you know? And we want to be a church that is a safe place to come home to. We want to be a welcoming church. We want this to be a place where people from all kinds of different backgrounds, all kinds of different situations can come here, and that this is a safe place where they can learn about God and where God can begin working on their hearts, right? We don't want to, you know, if someone comes here and their life is a wreck, we don't want to leave them that way, but we do want to accept them that way. Come on in. You can be here. This is a place for you. This is a place where you can learn. This is a place where you can grow. This is a place where you can heal. This is a place where God can change your life. And we want to do everything we can do as a church to make that true. For people that have never walked with Jesus, or have just recently begun walking with Jesus, or even just new people that have recently started attending here, we want to be a welcoming, warm home for these people. So being welcoming is one of our values. It's really important to us. The second being statement is it's important for us to be students, right? Being students is an important idea for us. And what we mean by that is there are certain things. We already talked about the word disciple, basically meaning student. If you were a disciple of Jesus in the New Testament, you were a student of Jesus. So another way of saying student is saying disciple. And as a student, all of us who are following Christ need to be students. We need to know God's word. We have a textbook, right? It's called the Bible. We need to know certain things about Jesus. We need to know his commands. We need to be able to know our way around the Bible a little bit. This is very important for us. A lot of churches minimize this aspect of being a student, of really following and learning about Jesus. We talk quite a bit here about the Bible reading plan that we encourage you to do, where it'll take you through the Old Testament once in a year and the New Testament twice. And we encourage you to do that reading plan, and that's available out at the Welcome Center if you want to grab one of those. But it's important that we know our Bibles. And that's part of what this is all about, this Sunday morning gathering that we're doing right now. Part of that is just learning. I mean, every week we learn, we open God's Word, and we want to learn more about God because we're students. And that's a lifelong thing. The rest of my life, I will be a student of God's Word. I will be a student of Jesus. So we value that. The next we value being healthy. Being healthy. I have seen so much pain, so many problems in people's lives that had its root. The root of the problem was unhealthy church life, unhealthy churches, where people were in a church and the people in the church were just acting so unchristlike. That they just walked away. They said, forget this. If this is what church is all about, I don't want to do church anymore. And there's so many churches that are unhealthy and are unbalanced. And I want to talk about the balance bit in just a moment. But churches need to be healthy. And I think they need to try to be healthy because churches are made up of people, right? And so it's important that we focus on being healthy. And that as we grow, as this church becomes what God wants it to become, let us stay healthy, right? And that involves a lot of different things, and we'll talk about it right now. So I brought these really poorly made cards that I made last night. Honestly, at 1 o'clock in the morning is when I made these, so forgive the appearance. But I want to talk about three different things, three words, and I just have this as a visual aid. So the first word that has this little icon of a person's head is the word head. And I'll talk about what that means. There's head, heart, and hands. Head, heart, and hands. And I'll show you all of them as we go. But it's important for us. We talked about being students already. When it comes to following Christ, we believe those three areas are very important. The head, heart, and hands. And what we mean by that is that our heads, that's the knowledge, that's the mental aspect of following Jesus. Like I said, there are things that we should know as followers of Christ that are just kind of mental things. We need to know and continue learning God's word, and every year of your life, learning more and more in your understanding. I know that I will never finish my study of God's word, in the sense that, you know, I've been really studying the Bible for about 10 years. I mean, just really diving into it. I got a biblical studies bachelor's degree as a part of my training in ministry, and I've been studying God's word really seriously for about 10 years. And I know that I will study for the next 30, 40, 50 years, however long God gives me, and I will never finish, right? There's just so much there. It's a big book, first of all, but then there's different aspects of it where you start to learn something about, you think you know the Bible pretty well, and then you just discover, you know, God brings something to light in a whole new way. And it's just, it's an incredible thing, and it's a lifelong deal. We're students. Like I said, part of what this gathering is about is being learners, being this head part of following Christ, knowing certain things about Jesus, being students of Jesus. And that's a very important thing for us as a church, and that's part of being healthy is to make sure that we don't minimize the learning part of following Jesus. The next word is the word heart. In this picture, heart. And this involves your inner life. This involves your soul. This involves your emotions. This is the inside, like the deepest sense of who you are and how healthy you are in your heart. And this is things like, do you pace yourself well? So many times in churches, we just have people that people are serving, and they're serving in an unbalanced sort of way, so they burn out, right? And we've had a lot of that in our history as a church, where people have just been serving and there's just been a need. There hasn't been enough people to serve in all the different areas that we need people to serve in. And so people will just burn themselves out because they're having trouble with the balance issue. And maybe we as a church have led them down that path where they burnt themselves out in the past. We don't want to do that. We want to be a church where people can have a healthy inner life as well. For me in my own life, when it comes to the mental aspect of following Jesus, the head, that's, you know, spending time in God's word, that's learning from other pastors. When it comes to the heart, that's things like taking a day every week where I just rest. That's my Sabbath day. You know, I really take that seriously about resting one day out of the week, because life is busy and it's getting busier for me. You know, as the church grows, there's more things going on. And I know if I'm going to have a healthy inner life, I need to pace myself. And I need to rest, and I need to take breaks from time to time. And you do too. You know, many of you struggle with hurts, hang-ups, addictions even. And that's what this is about. Having a healthy inner life is about dealing with those kinds of things. And we as a church want to help you with that. It's very important to us that you have a healthy inner life, that you are pacing yourself, that you are emotionally stable or kind of where you need to be, that God is changing your heart, not just your head. Right? There's more to it than just the mental part of following Jesus. There's also the heart. Think about when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. And Jesus did not get on the Pharisees' case because they didn't know enough about the Bible. Right? They knew the first 39 books of the Old Testament, or first 39 books of the Bible, which we can call the Old Testament. That was all they had for the Bible back then. They knew that better than anyone in this room. Certainly better than me. God didn't say, all right, your problem is you don't know the Bible well enough. He actually did say that because they didn't apply the Bible well enough. But their problem wasn't a knowledge element. It was a heart problem. Remember those verses where he says, outside you look holy and you look like you're following God, but inside your heart is a mess. And that's what happens in churches very often. They know a lot of things about God, but their hearts are sick and far from God. So part of being healthy is having a healthy head and a healthy heart. And finally, hand. Let's see if I can Anyway, not quite to scale, pretty close. So what we mean by this is we mean Holy Spirit-empowered living, giving, and serving. This is people, this is a hand reaching out to help somebody. This is a hand reaching up in praise to God. But Holy Spirit-empowered living, giving, and serving. That's what we mean by hand. And this is the fact that we, as Christians, we must have a part of our lives reaching out, serving people. Right, we all, if you're a follower of Jesus, you have a spiritual gift given to you by God to serve the church, to serve other Christians, and there's different spiritual gifts, and part of this doing well at this aspect of our lives is knowing what your spiritual gift is, and actually serving, giving time, and giving your energy, and giving of your resources to God's kingdom. That's a large part of following Christ. Now, I said health, it's important for us, if we're healthy, to be balanced. And we need all three. We need our heads, our hearts, and our hands to be following Christ, all three of them. And sometimes we can get off balance. As a church, churches get off balance sometimes with this. And it's like this stool. I mean, it's like this, I guess it's a table, not a stool. I wouldn't sit on this. It would fall apart. It's like this little table. There's three legs on this table. If I took one of these legs off, the table could lean on something to stand up, but it's not going to do very well. If I walk away, it's going to fall over. Or if it's on one leg, it's even worse off, right? It's going to totally fall. But it needs all three legs. And in the same way, our church needs healthy heads, hearts, and hands. And we need to be balanced. And we cannot build a church on just one of those things, or even two of those things, but we need all three. And what happens sometimes when we get off balance, because I believe that you have one of these areas that comes more naturally to you when it comes to serving God. That you just love learning the Bible, and that comes so naturally to you. And you go, man, that's what church is all about, is learning God's word. And you hold this one up higher than the other two. And you say, yeah, the serving, I guess that's important, but whatever. I mean, church is all about knowing stuff. We need to know the Bible really well, and that's really what it's all about. And we neglect the other two. I went to that church growing up. I mean, churches I went to growing up didn't do anything for the community, and they had a whole lot of people with sick hearts. And that was an unbalanced church. It was an unhealthy church. We can go a different route, which many churches have, where they say it's all about serving people. It's all about reaching out. It's all about blessing people. But yeah, the Bible, I guess the Bible's important. But we should probably focus on just serving the poor, serving the community. I actually heard someone say that. I was in a meeting with other pastors and a few other people. And someone said, the gospel is about serving the poor. That's what the gospel's about, period. And I was like, whoa, I don't know about that. I mean, that's kind of, I can't say that I agree with you. I think there's more to the gospel and more to, certainly the Bible and more to following Christ than just serving people. Although that's very important. You cannot build an entire church on that. Many mainline churches, these big Presbyterian Methodist kind of churches that are really suffering right now, made the decision 50, 60, 80, 100 years ago that they were going to be all about serving and they were going to neglect some of the mental part of following Jesus. They were going to neglect truth. And they were going to kind of fold on some of this stuff. And they were going to instead raise the level of service and really love people and encourage people and do a lot of good things in the name of Jesus. But they were neglecting the other parts. And so as a church, it is very important, if we're going to be healthy, that we are balanced in each of these areas. That we know that following Christ is a... there's a mental part of that, the head, right? There's an inner life part of that, our hearts. And there's our hands. There's giving, there's serving, there's living in the power of the Holy Spirit, right? That is a... all three of those things are important. And this church needs to be built on all three of those things. And that affects different things. The messages that I teach on a Sunday morning will be affected by knowing that. If I'm teaching stuff that's all, you need to know this, you need to know this, most of the messages will be that. Where it'll be about knowing certain things about God. That's just kind of what Sunday mornings are about. But I will sometimes say, all right, we need a message about kind of the heart and the inner life, and we need to make sure we're staying healthy in our souls, you know, that we're, every part of us is staying close to Christ. Or maybe I might teach, hey, we need to serve people. We need to give. We need to give more resources to bless people and to advance the cause of the kingdom. right? And so that'll affect the teaching. That'll affect different parts of our life as a church. But balance is so important. You can't build a church on just one of these things or two of these things. You need all of them. So head, heart, and hands. The other next value, we value being focused. Being focused. This is very important to us. This means simply, we are not going to have be a church that someday has 80 different ministries. We just have something, you know, everyone in the church has their own ministry. It's really important that we can keep as focused as possible on those things we talked about, Great Commandment, Great Commission. And we can't do everything. As a church, we cannot do everything. There's lots of people with great ideas about things that we should do. And it's, you know, I mean, lots of people come excited and man, that's great. And what I think we'll do as a church is release people to do ministries, to have their own personal ministry. But a lot of times ministry gets started in a church and there's someone that was very passionate about that ministry that got it started and then they left, right? Or they you know, moved or something like that. And there's this ministry that's just kind of left that the church is supporting and they're trying to find volunteers for. If you have your own personal ministry that you feel passionate about, and I hope you do, as a church, we want to empower you to do that. We want to empower you to serve, you know, and bless you to do that. But as a church, we need to keep focused. There's just we cannot do everything, and so we have to focus on certain things. And three things in particular: our Sunday morning service. This is, you know, obviously a large part of the life of our church is what's happening right now, and that's a time for the church to come together. That's a time for us to worship God. That's a time for us to learn from His Word. That's a time for us to encourage each other because it's the only time when we're all gathered together like this. So you may see people in the lobby that maybe look discouraged, and that may be an opportunity for you to bless them or just a chance to build up community a little bit more, right? And build up these relationships, these spiritual friendships that we need to have. So first is Sunday mornings. It's very important. It's a large part of what we do. It's about learning from God's Word. It's about worshiping together. It's coming to celebrate what God's doing. There's also classes, life groups, and events. That's kind of this. That's three things, but that's the second thing that we're going to be focused on, is classes, life groups, and events. And that's things like our women's, what was it called through the summer? Sweet Life Cafe, where they met monthly through the summer, and it was this limited time deal. And there's also the coffee connections that they do. We do men's breakfast. Those are kind of monthly events. There's also life groups. There's a small number of these life groups, and we want to offer even more of them to you. We do have a few spots in life groups if you'd like to sign up for one. But a life group is a group of people that get together weekly to discuss the message from Sunday morning. And you'll notice on the back of your program that there's discussion questions on the bottom. And almost every week there's questions on the bottom, and that's for those groups to discuss in homes throughout the week where they just, it's further application of what we're learning on Sunday mornings. And it's, hey, this is kind of what we're learning, and we're going to apply this even more to our lives. So that's what life groups are all about. And it's a chance to develop that community and maybe closer bonds than you're able to have on a Sunday morning. But life groups, that's an important part of our church. And like I said, we want to expand it. And if that's something that you're curious about, if you are interested in a life group, we do have some groups. I think there's three or four groups right now that we can probably find a spot for you in that group if you'd like to be involved in that. And you can actually fill out that little tear-off on the bottom of the program, and there's a box to check that says you're interested in a life group. One-time events as well. There's different things that we, where we will hold an event of some sort, and the purpose of that event, we haven't done a lot of these things, but the purpose of that event will be to help you grow in your relationship with Christ. There's, I guess the Sweet Life Cafe that the ladies did kind of falls in that category where it was just three times, and then they were done. They met throughout the summer just once per month for three different occasions, and that's kind of one of those events where it's, hey, helping you grow in your relationship with Christ outside of just what we experience on Sunday mornings. And then the third thing that we want to stay focused on is service opportunities. We want to provide opportunities as a church for you to serve people, for you to experience that, for you to see what serving our community is all about, or even serving here in the church. I mean, there's a large part of that that just involves serving here in the church. We need volunteers to do everything that we do on a Sunday morning. There's people in the tech booth. There's people, you know, ushers and greeters that I already talked about today, kids ministry, but serving each other. This is part of what we're about as a church, is giving you opportunities to serve, but also outside the walls of the church. We've done several outreach events in the community where we've had you bring things in during the weeks leading up to the event and then just give stuff away. Where we had a winter clothing thing back last year around November, and then we had the community come out and just say, hey, we got winter clothing, we've got coats, we've got, you know, just all kinds of things. Come and grab some stuff for free, right? And we just did one a few weeks ago with school supplies, and that was hugely popular in our neighborhood. We ran out of stuff like that. I mean, the people were so excited about being able to get free school supplies. But the really cool thing about that is we had people from the church doing the volunteering at those events. And those of you who were there at any of those kind of community events we've done, you were blessed by being there. I mean, that was an encouragement, I know, for me to be a part of that. And I know it was for you as well. And that's part of what it's all about, right? That's like loving God and loving people. And one of the ways that we love God is by loving people. And so we want to provide even more opportunities. This also involves things like missions trips. We actually have a trip that we are planning. It's very early planning stages about going back to Uganda beginning part of next year. We want to send another team over there. We've sent a team in the past, and we want to send another team over there to help lay some of the groundwork for our ministry partnership over in Uganda. And some of you are going to go on that. Some of you, you know, this is kind of the first you're hearing about it, but some of you will be on that trip. And other opportunities, but serving, it's a large part. So Sunday mornings, classes, life groups, and events, and service opportunities. That, when we say focus, that's what we're talking about. We're not going to do a whole lot of things that don't fall into one of those categories. We need to keep focused as a church, because we'll have greater impact with greater focus. Another thing that we value being generous. Being generous. In different ways, generous certainly with your time, but also resources. And I want to talk just specifically about the resources for just a moment. This church, I was thinking back on this this week, there have been some moments that just stand out to me that are like, that absolutely embody what I'm talking about. When I say being generous, there have been some moments in the last year and a half, and then if I think back the whole length of the history of the church, there have been some just like generosity. I can't figure out what I'm trying to say exactly, but like the Mount Rushmore of generosity kind of things, right? There's been several things where there have been people that have been so generous and just said, man, I don't have a lot, but here's what I can do. Or other people that have been blessed with a lot of resources that bless the church with some resources. And there's been a lot of other moments that happen every Sunday where someone says, man, money's tight, but I'm going to give because this is what I believe God wants me to do. And if we're going to do the things that we need to do as a church, it involves all of us doing our part and all of us being generous. And I say that as someone who's experienced the blessings from God in my own life from being generous. It's a powerful thing. And so as a church, there's different ways that plays out. Certainly, we take an offering every week, and we talk about that. But also other things, like if you signed up for a class recently, or if you signed up for the Sweet Life Cafe, and you paid for your, I think it was $30 to be a part of that study, there was another box for you to check in the little brochure that said, I'd like to pay for someone else's as well. Things like that, where we want to just build those things into our culture. Of just being generous. This is a key value, and God's kingdom spreads through your generosity. The next is the final, the sixth one, is we value being sent. And here's what I mean by that. We all have things that God wants us to do, missions, ministries that God wants us to be involved with. And we recognize that we are sent. We have a mission to accomplish. Right, we're a part of that Great Commission. We are disciples because someone else helped us become disciples, and we have important work to do. And so we value this idea of being sent and serving people and going on missions trips and things like that. But even more so than that, I want to get into some very specific kind of things about what I think our church is going to become over the next. I've been talking about ideas and values and things like that, but very specifically, our church exists because Life Center had a vision to reach 10% of Spokane County. They said, all right, we feel like God wants us to reach 10% of Spokane County by the year 2020, right? That's 10 years from now. And our part to play in that, our church exists because of that vision, that goal, that mission of having, of being able to reach 10% of Spokane County, which is something like 50,000 people. That's a lot of people. our church, I believe the role that our church is going to play is not becoming some giant church. That's kind of like, you know, a lot of churches, they'll start out and they'll just get bigger and bigger and bigger, and they become a mega church. Have you heard that term? Mega church, like 2,000, just a giant church. I don't think this church is going to become that. I believe our church could become that, you know, from the size we are now to a church of 1,000 or 2,000 people. I believe that it could become that, but I don't believe that's what God wants us to do. I think what God wants us to do is plant churches and to send people. And so when I talk about being sent, that's part of that idea. I believe that God wants us to raise up leaders here in this church and other people that aren't even Christians yet, that are going to come here in this church and they're going to hear the gospel and they're going to grow in their relationship with Christ, and then one day we're going to send them out. And our church is going to stay, bigger than we are now, but much smaller than a giant church, right? I think that's what God wants us to do. I know we're going to grow. I believe wholeheartedly that we'll, you know, maybe we'll double in size over the next year or two. I think that's very reasonable to think. But I don't think, I think our part of that reaching 10% of Spokane County by the year 2020 is to plant churches and to develop leaders and raise people up. And even to do things crazy like sending 50 people, you know, if we're a church of 400 people or something like that, sending a group of 50 people to go help a new church plant that we're not even starting ourselves, but maybe a church that just needs some good, solid people. And I believe that's the kind of thing our church is going to do in the future, where we'll send people out. We will plant our own churches, I believe. But I think that's what God wants us to do. We're going to send. We're going to be really good at sending people. I believe that wholeheartedly. So that's kind of a different path. It's a different career path than a lot of churches choose, right? A lot of churches, they move into a temporary location, and then they get big, and they move way out of town, and they build a big building somewhere. Our church, I believe, is going to stay here. I think this is a neighborhood that needs a church. I'd like to buy this building at some point, right? And just use this as a headquarters and plant churches out of this church and send people. And I think we may be a church of 400, 500, 600 people, but I don't want to be a church of thousands. Unless God has some other plan for us, but I want to be really good at sending people, really good at sending. So that's what we mean by being sent. So just some values, just so you can kind of get an idea of what I'm thinking, what I feel like God wants us to do as a church. We want to be welcoming, want to be students, want to be healthy, want to be focused and generous, and want to be sent, want to be really good at sending people. So those are our values. Next week, we're going to talk more about a real specific way that you can be involved in where we're going as a church and what we're trying to accomplish for God's kingdom. And so I hope you'll be back for that next week. But let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful once again for this place.